Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Chaf Vav. We're at the bottom of Chaf Hey Amud Bet at Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Today's shir is again for the refuah shleima of all those infected by the virus and for the zechut that we should see the end of the spreading of this virus very, very soon. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer ein madlikin bitzari. You cannot light with balsam, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. My time, what's the reason you can't? Amar Rabba mitoch sherecho dodef. It's scent is very strong. We're concerned that you're going to smell it and want to use some of the oil. You're going to take away some of the oil, and that is similar to mechabe, right? Adding in oil is the malacha of burning, and taking away oil is like putting out the flame. You're not allowed to take out the flame, and we're not allowed to take out the oil. It's like putting out the flame, so we're concerned because the smell is so good that you're going to want to use some of the oil for your own use, and so you're going to take some of it out. Amar Le Abaye, so Abaye said, Lema Mar Ripneshu Hu Af. But why doesn't Master suggest that there's an additional problem, that it burns upward very, very high, and we're concerned that it's very dangerous and it may burn something? We don't want to be worried about that on Shabbat. Chada V'od Kamar Chada. Yeah, when he taught this, he mentioned it by the mechanism of Chada V'od Chada. Right? Chada V'od Kamar Chada means he said this and that. He said, first of all, the problem is that its smell is very strong. Second of all, you have another problem that it burns upward very, very high, and so we have the concern. I wasn't teaching one to exclude the other. It's just I was teaching one in addition to the other. Meaning, first of all, because it flies upward, and second of all, because he may use it. Ahi chamata de havut saniya la lekalata. So now we have kind of an agadic story that speaks of how flammable balsam is. It's very a difficult story. But it speaks of this concept. There was a certain mother-in-law who absolutely hated her daughter-in-law. Amra la, she said to her, Zil ikashit b'mashcha de'aparsama. Go adorn yourself in oil made from balsam. Azla v'ikashit. And so she did so. She went and adorned herself with oil made from balsam. Ki ata amra le. And when she came back, the mother-in-law said to her, Zil itli sharga. She says, go, please light that that torch. Azla atla sharga anpach ba nur. And when she did so, because the balsam oil was so flammable, when she lit the torch, she herself caught on fire. And that was the mother-in-law's plan. Umidalat haaretz. Here's just another agadic story, another reference to balsam. Umidalat haaretz hishir nivuz ardan rav tavachim lekormim v'liyogvim. So the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash says that nivuz ardan left over the worst parts of the land to certain people that he did not actually exile, and he left those worst parts of the land to the Kormim and the Yogvim. Kormim, so what are Kormim? Kormim, Tani Rav Yosef, Elu Melakte Afar Simon, Men Gedi Vad Ramata. So Kormim are the people who would go collecting balsam from Ein Gedi until Ramata. Yogvim, okay, who are the Yogvim? Elu Tzaydei Chilazon, those are people who would collect the Chilazon, right, the snail used for the Tchelet, Me Sulamot Shel Tzur, from the heights of Tzur, Ad Haifa, until Haifa. These are the people who are allowed to stay in Israel, and they got the worst parts of the land. It's just another reference. Reference to balsam. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein madlikin betevel tame beachol. You cannot light oil that was from tevel tame. Right? Tevel is untithed produce, and so if the untithed produce becomes impure, now no one's allowed to eat from it, and you can't if you have, let's say, untithed produce made into oil and it becomes impure, you can't light from it even on a weekday, right? Ein tzarech lomer Shabbat, and all the more so you can't light from it on Shabbat. Kiyotzebo, similarly, ein madlikin beneft lavan michol, you can't light from white nafta on a weekday, ein tzarech lomer b'Shabbat, and all the more so you cannot use it for a Shabbat candle. Bishlama naft lavan b'pnei shehu af. Okay, I understand why you can't light with white nafta, because it's very flammable and it burns very high, and so even on a weekday I should be concerned about the danger. Aval tevel tame, but tevel, untithed produce, oil made from untithed produce that has become impure. My taima, what's the reason that I can't use that on a weekday? Amar kra v'ani hine natati lecha et mishmeret trumatai. Right, the same pasuk we saw earlier that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Aaron the guarding of his trumot. Two trumot he gave to him, but we also teach those two trumot, the trumot tameh and the trumot tahora, trumot tameh and trumot tahora, we teach them together, right? Trumotai. I'm giving you two different trumas, and because we teach them together like that, two different trumas, we equate the dinim of one to the other. In what way do we equate them? B'shtei trumot tagatum deaber. So the pasuk is clearly talking about two different trumas. Echad trumot tahora ve'echad trumot tameh. One is pure truma, and one is a truma that has become impure. He still gave them both to Aaron HaKohen. Ma truma tahora ein lecha ba el mishat harama ve'elach. Af truma tamea ein lecha ba el mishat harama ve'elach. At what point does Aaron HaKohen get to partake in the tevel? Or in the truma, sorry, only once it's the tithes are separated. And so too, he can only eat from the pure truma once the tithe is separated. While it's tevel, he may not eat from it. Only once the tithes are separated, he's allowed to eat from the pure truma. Okay, and we know that the impure truma he's still allowed to use for burning. However, just like he can't partake in the pure truma for eating until the tithes are separated, so too he cannot use the impure truma for burning until the tithes are separated. So as long as it is tevel, you may not use it for burning, and that's how we know that you can't even use it during the weekday gufa. So let's examine something we said earlier. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Eir Malikim Mitzari. Are you not allowed to eat light with balsam? V'chein Hayar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Similarly, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, Tzari Eino Ela Seraf Ma'atze Hakatef. Right, that tsari is a type of sap that comes from a tree. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Kol Hayotze Min Ha'etz in Madlikin Bo. Rabbi Shmuel said anything that comes from a tree you may not light. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Baroka Omer in Madlikin El Biyotze Min Ha'pri. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Baroka is even more limiting, and he says you may only light from oil that comes from a fruit. Right, so as we see that each opinion is getting a little more limiting in what we're allowed to light from. Rabbi Tarfon Omer in Madlikin El B'Shemen Zayit Bilvad. Rabbi Tarfon, the most limiting opinion, said you may only light with olive oil. That's the only thing you're allowed to use to light. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri al Raglav. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri stood up, v'amar, and he said as follows: Ma yasu anche bavel she'en lahem ela shemen shum semin. So okay, well, if you're only allowed to light with olive oil, what are the people of Bavel supposed to do that they only have sesame oil? Mayasu anche madai. What are the Medians supposed to do? She'en lahem ela shemen egozim. They only have nut oil. Mayasu anche Alexandria. She'en lahem ela shemen sinonot. And what are these people of Alexandria supposed to do? They only have radish oil. Mayasu anche kaputkia. She'en lahem ela and the people of Kaputkia, what are they supposed to do? They don't have this oil or that oil. They only have naft oil, right? So all these people would have nothing else to light if they followed your shita, Rabbi Tarfon, that you're only allowed to light from olive oil. Rather, we only follow the Chachamim. The Chachamim gave an explicit list in the Mishnah of what we can and cannot use. We follow that. That gives plenty of options to the rest of us. Ein madlikin, right? You may not use only with the things that the Chachamim said you can't use, but not these extra machmir shitas that everyone else is quoting. Umadlikin b'shemen dagim, and furthermore, you may light with fish oil b'itron, and you may light with itron. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer madlikin b'shemen pekuot ubenaft. You're allowed to light with oil from gourds and from nafta. Sumchus Omer, and Sumchus says kol yosu min habasar ein madlikin bo. You may not light with anything that comes out of flesh. Ela b'shemen dagim, except for fish oil. It's the only thing that comes from flesh that you're allowed to light with. Sumchus hanetanakama. One second, but that would mean that Sumchus is essentially the same exact shita of our Tanakama. Why? Because they both say that, you know, that all the lists that we mentioned, that the Chachamim talk about, that those are the restrictions. But in addition to the restrictions of the Chachamim, we're going to restrict things that came from flesh. But the exception to the things that come from flesh is the fish oil that you're actually allowed to use. That seems to be both Sumchus' opinion and the Tanakama's opinion, right? So how do we reconcile those two? Ika benayhu derav Barona. No, actually, there is a distinction between Sumchus and the Tanakama, and that is the sheet of Rav Barona that we quoted earlier, which is, what if those things are in a ta'arovet? Meaning, if it's fats that are not burnt by themselves, but they're in a ta'arovet, then it would be okay. Amarav velo misayimi. Rav points out, though, we don't know whose shita is whose. We know that's a proper distinction to be drawn between the Tanakama and Sumchus as to whether or not you're allowed to burn the fats of other flesh that isn't fish oil in a ta'arovet. However, we're not sure if that's Sumchus' opinion or the Tanakama's opinion, but that is a distinction between them. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says the following: Kol hayotze min ha'etz ein bo mishum shalosh shalosh. Okay, there's a general principle, just to give a little bit of background so we understand what exactly we're talking about. There's a general principle: if something is less than three finger breaths by three finger breaths, this is the bare minimum size for a cloth to be significant enough to be mekabel tuma. If the piece of cloth is tiny, it's not considered a significant enough piece of cloth such that it will be mekabel tuma. And so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says as follows: if something comes from a tree or a plant of any kind, it's not even subject to that policy. Generally, we look at any material and we say, is this 3x3? If it's 3x3, then it is significant enough that it may become mekabel tuma. If it's less than 3x3, then it may not be mekabel tuma. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, yeah, but anything that comes from a plant is just automatically not going to be a significant material such that it's going to be mekabel tuma, even if it has 3x3. So this principle of 3x3, we don't even apply that to things that come from plants. We just say that's not proper cloth, except for pishtan. Flax is the only thing that is subject to this rule. If you have flax, then we look at whether it's 3x3. Anything else, we do not. We assume that it's not a proper garment such that it cannot be mekabel tuma. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says as follows: Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar v'tana debei Rabbi Shmael amru davar echad. This opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is the same exact opinion, or is essentially saying the same exact thing as this other teaching that we have from the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel, right? So what is that teaching exactly? Well, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hada amr. Okay, we know what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says. That's the statement that we just made earlier. Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, mayhi. What is that statement of Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel that we assume to be saying essentially the same thing? Netani, as we taught, Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, so we taught the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel, ho'il v'ne'emru begadim b'torah stam. So the Torah mentions by talking about clothing, garments that are susceptible to tuma, it just says begadim. It just says stam begadim. We don't know what that really refers to. We don't know what constitutes a beged. We don't know what the stipulations are for beged. It just says clothing, right? So we have a stam. We have an unspecified case of garments. Uprad l'chakatuv be'chad mehem, and in one of those cases where it just says garments, the Torah goes into a little bit of extra detail. Semeropishtim. It mentions wool and flax, right? Because in one of those cases, it mentions wool and flax. Malahalan semeropishtim af kol semeropishtim. There's a general principle that when you have a category of unspecified criteria, it just says clothing, and then in one of the places it defines clothing as saying what is clothing, it is something made of tzemer ufishtim, wool and flax, then we apply that to the other places of clothing. Because the Torah doesn't use any extra words, it doesn't need to say tzemer ufishtim every single time. It could just say clothing. And then you ask, well, what is clothing? Well, look, the one time that it needed to, it elaborated. Clothing is something made of tzemer ufishtim. So the other time it says clothing, stam, unspecified, I know that is also talking about tzemer ufishtim, right? In which case, what do we learn from here? How is this exactly the same? Because what we see here is that the clothing that is susceptible to tuma it must come from tzemer ufishtim, wool or flax. Now, wool does not come from a tree. It doesn't come from a plant. Flax does come from a plant. And therefore, we see that the opinion of Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel is that the only thing that is susceptible to tuma that comes from a plant is pishtim, is flax. Essentially, it's the same exact shita as Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says that flax is the only thing that's going to be applied the rule of gimel al gimel, 3x3 finger breadths. Rava amar shlosha al shlosha b'shar begadim ike benayu. Rava argues and says they have different shitas entirely, right? Or, I mean, I guess they're not all that different, but there is a big distinction to be drawn between the two of them. if there is a three handbreadths by three handbreadths garment, then Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar believes that it's significant. Right? It's significant enough the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel believes that once something is 3 by 3 handbreadths, it doesn't matter what it comes from, right? That's just a significant piece of cloth. It's only for the sake of something that's generally small, that's something, you know, less than 3 by 3 handbreadths, that we care about the quality of the material such that only wool or flax is going to be mekabel tuma. However, if it's a big garment that's ro'oi, it's appropriate, it's fit to be used for a lot of things, it's a full 3 by 3 handbreadths, then we're going to say it doesn't matter what cloth it is, in Achinami, it's going to be Mekabal Tuma. Rav Shimon ben Elazar would argue, he clearly holds that the only thing that's ra'oi to be Mekabal Tuma that comes from a plant is flax. The Rav Shimon ben Elazar, So Rav Shimon ben Elazar believes it's still an exception, Tana to be Rav Shimon believes it's no longer an exception, and it could be Mekabal Tuma. The Kule Alma, Mihat, Shalosh HaShalosh, Metzer Rav Ishtim, and everyone agrees that if something is 3 by 3 and it is tzemer ufishtim, it is wool or it's flax, it's going to contract tuma by a mitzora, right? By someone who is menuga, someone who's afflicted. And if someone is tame with an affliction, then he can convey tuma to something that is 3 by 3. Made of wool or flax. Minalan, and how do I know that to be true? Ditanya, as we learned in a breita, beged ainli ela beged. Okay, so now when the Torah says that a beged, a clothing, can become tame by contact with a metzora, by someone who is afflicted, I now know that a full piece of clothing may become tame. How do I know that a smaller just piece of cloth can also become tame? That's 3 by 3. Shalosh al shalosh minayin, so 3 finger breaths by 3 finger breaths. How do I know that can also become tameh and not just a full garment? Tamed lomar viha beged, right? Because it could have just said beged, right? Instead it says viha beged, which is additional letters for the fact that it expands the word beyond what's absolutely necessary to teach you what it needs to teach you. We come to include something. So it's not just the beged, the full clothing, rather even a small but still significant portion of that clothing, meaning just a small strip of the cloth itself. The email rabot shlosha al shlosha. Wait, but how do we know that this reboy of veha beged, as opposed to just saying beged, comes to teach you 3 finger breadths by 3 finger breadths? Maybe what it's really teaching you is 3 hand breadths by 3 hand breadths. How do you know to include such a small measurement of 3 by 3 finger breadths? Maybe it's coming to teach you a smaller chiddush of 3 by 3 hand breadths. That's big enough to be considered significant, such as it's going to be mekabel tuma if it comes in contact with a mitzora. Lav kal v'chomeru. No, because this isn't the Kal v'Chomer that we should include 3 by 3 handbreadths, right? Well, I don't need this pasuk to teach me that. It's Kal v'Chomer, meaning, yes, in Achinami, 3 by 3 handbreadths is Mekabel Tuma, but I know that from a Kal v'Chomer, in which case I don't need the extra words to teach me that. Hashta, Shati v'Arev, Mitame, Shalosh al Shalosha, Mibayath. Now that Shati v'Arev, now that the wolf, the wharf and the... Since the warp and the woof are mitame, meaning those are the, that's what you use to weave. It's the strings going up and down, the strings going across. So you use to weave. Those things are already mekabel tuma. Why? Because they're the strings that you're going to use to create a significant garment. Even though they're not a significant garment yet, you're going to use them to create a significant garment, and therefore they're already ro'i lekabel tuma. So if something is already ro'i lekabel tuma before you even put it together, then kal v'chomer, once you put it together, it's going to be ro'i lekabel tuma. In which case, if those threads are already mekabel tuma, then I know that something that's 3 by 3 handbreadths is going to become mekabel tuma. I don't need the extra letters in the pasuk to teach me that. So that's a kal v'chomer that it's the 3 handbreadths is going to be mekabel tuma, and therefore the 3 finger breadths I'm learning from the additional letters in the pasuk. Yachi shalosh al shalosh nami, right? Leti mekabel v'chomer, right? Well, then meaning if an uncompleted cloth, meaning just the threads used for the cloth, are mekabel tuma, and that teaches me that all the more so a completed cloth is mekabel tuma. Then I could say the same kal v'chomer by a completed cloth that is smaller. Meaning, I shouldn't just say, oh, then 3 handbreadths all the more so is going to be mekabel tuma. I could also say that a completed cloth of 3 finger breadths is going to be mekabel tuma because the incomplete beged is mekabel tuma. Ela shlosha al shlosha dechazu bein la'ashirim bein la'anim ati mekabel v'chomer shlosha shlosh la'anim hu dechazian la'ashirim lo chazian lo ati mekabel v'chomer. Right. So we're making this distinction between a cloth of 3 finger breadths that's significant enough for a poor person, right, to get his hands on. However, for a rich person, it's considered insignificant. Whereas for 3 by 3 handbreadths, that's considered significant both for a poor person and a rich person. It is objectively a significant amount of cloth, whereas a 3 by 3 finger breadths is not objectively a significant amount of cloth. And it is so much so not a significant amount of cloth that even we say that for that it is less significant than the threads that have yet to be put together, meaning threads that have yet to be put together, but could in theory be made into a bigger cloth, is more significant than threads that have been put together in a cloth, but that cloth is smaller and only fit for the use of poor people, in which case it's not a significant enough garment, and so I'm not going to make that kal v'chomer. I'm not going to make that kal v'chomer, then I need the extra letters in the pasuk to teach me it. Tama de katve kra, halo katve kra, lo gamrina me kal v'chomer. So I only know from the pasuk, from the extra letters in the pasuk, that a 3 by 3 finger breadths is significant enough cloth to be kal v'tuba. However, I would not know that from the kal v'chomer. Ve'ima l'rabot shalosha al shalosha b'shar begadim. Okay, well, maybe those extra letters are not to include 3 by 3 finger breadths as we seem to have concluded beforehand, and it's not to include 3 by 3 handbreadths in wool and flax, which we just rejected because we could learn it from a kal v'chomer. But maybe it is a riboy does come to include 3 by 3 handbreadths of other begadim, other clothing, because we said we only have a source to tell me that 3 by 3 would be mekabel tuma by wool and by flax. However, other begadim, no. Other begadim is not going to become tame. So maybe we could say that this riboy is not for 3 by 3 finger breadths by wool and flax, and it's not 3 by 3 handbreadths by wool and flax, we can learn from the kal v'chomer, but rather it's 3 by 3 handbreadths by other begadim, which I would have assumed aren't mekabel tuma at all. Amar kra, beged tzemer ufishtim. No, because the pasuk says itself, a garment of tzemer ufishtim. The continuation of the pasuk says a garment of tzemer ufishtim, which I know I'm only talking about tzemer ufishtim. It doesn't make sense to say that this riboy is teaching me that a garment 3 by 3 handbreadths of a different material is going to be mekabel tuma when the pasuk itself explicitly says tzemer ufishtim. I know that I'm only talking about tzemer ufishtim. Beged tzemer ufishtim in midei achrinei lo. So I know that it's only tzemer ufishtim that's roi lekabel tuma at this size, but other garments are not roi lekabel tuma. Ve'ema ki imut mishalosh al shalosh, aval shlosha al shalosha mitame. But maybe when the pasuk says tzemer ufishtim, so I know it's limiting something, right? It's limiting what can be mekabel tuma to only things made of tzemer ufishtim. That's a mute. I mean, I would have maybe assumed up until that in the pasuk that it's talking about all garments. I know now it's only talking about wool and flax. I get that. But maybe what did it want me to limit it to? It wanted it to limit things of 3 finger breadths that can be mekabel tuma only to wool and flax. However, that's not to say that it comes to limit things of 3 handbreadths that can only be mekabel tuma by wool and flax. Meaning, I know that only that wool and flax are the only things that are ro'i lekabel tuma. I get that. The pasuk tells me that, right? However, meaning it's limiting. I would have assumed it's any cloth. Now I know it's only wool and flax. However, I could say, my initial assumption is that now I know that all garments of any size are only mekabel tuma if they are wool and flax. But maybe I should just say that the wool and flax exclusionary term here is just to tell me that the only garment that can be mekabel tuma at 3 finger breadths is wool and flax. But you know, hinami, 3 handbreadths, I could still say it would be mekabel tuma at 3 handbreadths can be mekabel tuma for other garments. And I only limited the garments to wool and flax by 3 finger breadths for kabbalat tuma. Trei me'ut ektivi. No, because if you look closely, there are actually 2 exclusionary terms. Beged semer, o beged fishtim. Chad lamutim mishlosha al shalosh, v'chad lamutim mishlosha al shalosha. Meaning, essentially what I just realized here is that there are two times where it's written tzemer ufishtim, two different times where it's written, where I'm limiting the garments to tzemer ufishtim, to wool and flax. One of those times is to teach you that a 3 by 3 finger breadths is only mekabel tuma by by Tzemer Ufishtim, and the second time to teach you that Tzemer Ufishtim is also the by three handbreadths, it also is only Mekabal Tuma by Tzemer Ufishtim. So don't suggest that only by three finger breadths it would be Mekabal Tuma by Tzemer Ufishtim, but three by three handbreadths would be Mekabal Tuma for other garments. I have two exclusionary terms. Tzemer Ufishtim twice excludes all other garments. One is for 3x3 finger breadth size, and one is 3x3 hand breadth size. So I know that these are the only things that become are Mekabal Tuma, Tzemer Ufishtim, and at a size at least 3x3 finger breadths. Okay, we'll stop here.